Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
The Word of God this morning. If you're visiting for the first time, we don't normally take this long to get into the Word of God, okay? But we had to do this morning. Pastor Bami is going to bring the Word this morning. She is anointed. It's usually Pastor Renee, but the Lord has put something on her heart, and let us just be blessed by the Word.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to ask you to keep standing as we turn to Scripture, to Hebrews 11, verses 6 through 8. And we're going to have two scriptures. You don't have to turn to the second one, but it's going to be Romans 10, 17. Our first one is Hebrews 11, verses 6 to 8. And the Word of God says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be the one who rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he left not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and the one who had received the promise was offering up his only son." And then Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes by from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." All right, you may have a seat. Now, if I'm being honest, me being up here today is out of pure obedience. And I just want to tell you a little story. So God tends to give me preachings, right? I actually have a notes app on my phone where I write down sermons he gives me. And most of those sermons get preached to our youth. Now, at the end of last year, God told me that he wanted me to preach up here, and I was like, no, right? And pastor then says, "Do you want to preach next?" I actually told God, only if pastor asks, and then of course he asked, "Do you want to preach next year?" And so I said, okay, so my heart and my mind was already prepared to be up here this year. And so earlier this year, God gave me a preaching. I was watching a show, I was watching The Chosen, and he gave me a preaching, and I wrote it down. And God said, "I want you to preach that word." And I was like, "I don't know, you know, is it real? Is it not real?" I didn't really think much of it, and I didn't preach it. And then a few weeks later, Michael Tucker preached it. The same sermon, the same points, the same message. Of course, he did it way better than I did, but it was the same message. And when I was sitting there listening, I was being convicted, right? Because God said, "If you're not going to preach, I'm going to find someone who will." And so I was like, ouch, right? I was like, that one hurt. And then, of course, immediately I'm like, okay, God, I'm sorry. Next time, I'll do it. And then there was a next time, right? So God gives me another word. And I was reading, I think I was doing a lecture, I don't remember. And Romans 10:17 comes up. And there was this similar tug in my heart. And I was like, okay, God, I didn't think much of it. But then after that, the verse just kept coming up and coming up. If I tell you 10 times, it might not be enough. It kept coming up until one day I was sitting down and I was at a coffee shop waiting for someone because I'm cool and hip because I hang out with the young adults now. So I go to coffee shops and I was waiting for someone and I'm reading my book and the verse comes up. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to study it. I had time. And so I dove into scripture in that moment and God just started giving me a message. And so I was like, okay, I have to preach it. And God was just calling me into a point where he was like, if you don't do it, you're going to be in disobedience again. I didn't want to be there. So I said, okay, God. And I spoke to the priest of my home, my husband. I was like, look, this is going on. And in his wisdom, because my husband is very wise, he said, tell Pastor Ryan, put me in coach. So that's what I did. I text Pastor Ryan. I said, Renee said, put me in coach. And so he gave me a date, and here we are. And all this to tell you that I'm up here out of obedience, and God has a word for you. It's a word that has kept me up. It's a word that has been stirring in my heart. And I hope you guys have ears to listen and your hearts open to receive what God has this morning. Okay. An unknown writer said, This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is a traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven is open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ, yes, to glory itself for eternity. In Romans, we read, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Hebrew tells us that the word of God is alive. There is something that happens to a person when they encounter the truth of God's word. There is transformation, there is growth, there is healing. In it, we find hope and we find the meaning of true love. Now, growing up, I was taught to have a special reverence for God's word. We couldn't put it on the floor. We couldn't put anything on top of it. We couldn't bend the pages. We couldn't write on it. It was as if its value was so great that any interruption to its perfection was frowned upon. Now, I'm going to be honest. I do write on my Bible. Sorry, Mom. In fact, I highlight entire passages. Now, seeing a Bible that is not written on, folded, or highlighted to me looks unloved. A Bible that is used and loved will have some wear. It will be written on and visibly worn. That Bible is love. The words of that Bible are written in the heart of the reader. And it does not mean that that person doesn't have reverence. In fact, I think it is of supreme value to them. It is so valuable, in fact, that they have to mark the pages when God speaks. And there is evidence of tears flowing in the pages that they read. There is a need to make a note of what God spoke because you don't want to forget his words. To the reader, the words of that Bible are priceless. Now, a few weeks ago, we had our first ever young adults night of worship. Woo-hoo. And we were here, my husband and I were in the front, and there was a young adult lady who walked in, and she had her Bible with her, and she came to the front and knelt down and placed her Bible in the front open, sitting down worshiping. And she would flip through the pages, and she would worship, and she would flip back, and she would worship. She even was making notes on her Bible. And I just thought that was amazing. It was as if the songs that were speaking, that were being sung, were speaking to her, and it reminded her of a scripture that she turned to that page and made a note of it. Her worship did not only include singing, but also meditating on God's word. And you could tell that God's word was precious to her. The word of God should be something so precious to our lives that we have to include it in our daily life. That when we open the pages of scripture, we realize that we are about to hear the words of our Father. Now, there was a funny meme I had seen on Instagram once when it was just like you had to read it. So the first line was saying, "I wish God could speak to me," to where someone responds, "We'll read the Bible." And no, the first person goes, no, I want God to speak to me audibly. To where the person replies, "Read the Bible out loud." The word of God is just that, words from God. You want God to speak to you? Then you need to read what he has to say. To seek wisdom elsewhere is foolish. There is no greater wisdom than the word of God. There is no special truth other than the truth we find in God's word. And too often, believers seek human wisdom instead of seeking the one who gives true wisdom. Now, I feel for some that the reverence of God's word is gone. That when they approach scripture, even if they even approach it at all, They don't do it with reverence. They don't look at it as priceless or as a privilege, but rather it's looked as an option, a chore, or a check mark in their to-do list. And then they walk around unable to discern God's voice. They don't understand that these words come straight from God. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work." What you hold in your lap, carry on in your phone or iPad, or listen to on your drive is a composition of 66 books with you, the reader and believer, in mind. Now, it doesn't mean that every verse applies specifically to you. What it does mean is that reading God's word is vital for our growth. It is necessary for our spiritual survival. If we are to be successful in our walk with Christ, the word of God is a must. No exceptions, no excuses. Our desire and need to read the word of God should be like our need and desire for food. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "And he humbled you and let you go hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your father know, in order to make you understand that man shall not live on bread alone, but shall live on everything that comes out of the mouth of the Lord." We are to live off of God's word. Everything that God has to say to us is written in his word. God's word is what sustains us. Now, if this verse sounds familiar to you, it's because this is the verse that Jesus quotes when he is being tempted by Satan. If Jesus, being the word, quoted the word to refute Satan, what does that tell us about its value? How much more are we to use it in everything we do? Now, there is so much we could talk about the Bible and reading it, but for today, what I want to focus on is the impact of the Word of God when it comes to our faith. Today's message is titled, "Faith Comes by Hearing." Now, in Hebrew 11, we find what is referred to as the Hall of Faith, and these are men and women that demonstrate what faith looks like. In fact, the chapter begins by defining what faith is, and it tells us faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. In verse 7, we read that by faith, Noah, when he was warned. And then in verse 8, we read, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. Both of these men are considered great men of faith. And here we read that they both heard the word of God and obeyed. Noah heard about the coming disaster, and by faith, he obeyed God. There was a 120-year gap from him hearing God's voice to the actual flood. And in that whole time, Noah had faith. Abraham heard God call him out of a foreign country, and he had faith and obeyed. Now, he didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God. They believed what God said to be true, even though they had not seen it. God's words were enough. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, this verse in context is talking about saving faith. The faith that you have when you begin your walk with Jesus. Now, saving faith comes when we hear about the gospel. We hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, how he took on human flesh, suffered and died for our sins, and then resurrected on the third day so that we could be reconciled to the Father. You had to admit you were a sinner, repent of your sins, and place your faith in Jesus. This is saving faith. This type of faith is beautiful, and it is often referred to as the first love. It is a wonderful time for a believer. For the first time in your life, you experience God's love, his freedom, his peace, the hope that he gives you, and you begin to understand what it means to surrender your life to him. And as wonderful as saving faith is, this is not a faith that can sustain us long term. Saving faith is the initial step in your walk with Christ. And this is the faith that unites all believers to Christ. But saving faith needs to be strengthened. into a faith that can sustain us. The Word of God creates and strengthens faith. Our faith begins with God's Word, and our faith is strengthened when we continue to dive into Scripture and begin to apply it in our life. Our maturity comes when we read Scripture. Our ability to endure comes from the Word we have hidden in our heart. We should pursue to mature in our faith so that when the trials come, we can stand firm. In Matthew, Jesus tells a parable of two builders. He begins by saying, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and its collapse was great." So we're going to start with the foolish man. Jesus said that this man is the one that is a hearer of the word, but not a doer. If we are to describe this person today, it would be someone who comes on Sunday to get their spiritual high, but then goes back Monday to Saturday and does nothing for their spiritual life. And during the week, their Bible sits and collects dust. This person requires Sunday service hype to sustain them. They come through the door starving because they have not fed their spiritual life all week. They require the amazing worship songs we have, the ministering our worship leaders give, the motivational words Pastor Melissa does when she picks up the offering, the fire word Pastor Ryan brings every Sunday, and their tank becomes full. And maybe these people during the week, they see a motivational quote or a verse, and they repost it. Or they come across a 15-second sermon and they type amen. All the while their Bible sits and collects dust. Or maybe the verses they do know or read are the ones that are taken out of context because it benefits them, makes them feel good. But they fail to follow the verses that require work, effort, and obedience. And in their process, their house is being built on sand. This does not strengthen our faith. It does not mature us as believers, and it leaves our house vulnerable for collapse. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For a time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they would accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desire." A foolish builder will ignore God's truth and be content with man's truth being disguised as God's truth. And they can't tell the difference between God's truth and man's truth because they have never taken time to spend time in the Word finding out the truth for themselves. Why? Because building on God's Word requires work. Building on sand is easy. You go to the beach, sand is everywhere. But building a strong foundation takes effort, tears, and a lot of Jesus. The fool is content with being deceived all the while their Bible collects dust. And their house sits on sand. And God is patiently waiting for them to open up the word so he can speak to them, so their faith can be strengthened, because he knows the storm is coming. And unless they begin to diligently seek God, the collapse of their house will be great. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Church, it's not time to play church. It is not wise to starve our spirit. We are in a time where our foundation needs to be on the truth of God's word. Amen. Now, some of you might not like me after this. That's okay. But God placed a burden in my heart, and I cannot sit quiet. I can't sit here and watch believers be illiterate in the Word of God because they were never told of its value. So I am telling you today, church, this book is valuable. It is priceless. We need it for our spiritual survival. Our spiritual lives demand to be rooted in the Word of God. Our devotion to the Word of God should look like the command Moses gave the Israelites in Deuteronomy. He says this, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart, and you shall repeat them diligently to your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." And you don't have to know anything or understand everything to read God's word, but you do have to read it. There are plenty of resources available, and if you don't know where to start, you can see me or any of our leadership after church. We can share with you what we use. But the most important advice I can give you is that before you read God's word, you ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and understanding. Church, the storm will come. The wind will blow, the rain will fall, and if we are not standing on God's word, our house will eventually collapse. Jesus calls these people fools. That's the bad news. However, Jesus speaks of a different group, the wise. The psalmist describes them like this. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Now, I was doing science class with my daughter, and for those of you that don't know, I homeschool my kids, so most of the time, teaching means learning together, okay? And we were doing science, and I was learning, and we came across the topic of the evergreen tree. I don't know if you know about the evergreen tree, but when we were reading about it, Psalm 1 came to mind. It happens to be one of my favorite psalms. And this was the first time that I realized that the tree in Psalm 1 does really exist. When it speaks of a tree whose leaf does not wither, he's speaking of a tree that we have around today. Now, an interesting fact about evergreens is that they never lose their color and they never lose their leaves. That it does not matter what the external circumstances or the seasons they experience, they stand strong, and not only stand strong, but are untouched. They could be under the most harsh conditions, and they will not lose their foliage or change colors, hence the name evergreen. In other words, what the psalmist is saying is that someone who delights in God's word, someone who reads scripture and meditates on it day and night, is not only connected to the living water, but despite external circumstances, changes in season, or under severe stress, they will remain standing. And not only standing, but they will be untouched. This person will endure difficult circumstances and continue to have strength because their strength is not their own but the Lord's. They have put in the work of reading God's word, applying it to their lives, that come what may they remain. And their faith is placed on the one they know because they have gotten to know him. They have made the effort of reading God's word. They have meditated on it, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to them. They have been convicted and have begun to show signs of fruit. So not only do they remain strong and untouched, but they become a blessing to others. The work that they put in private is evident in public, and they are a walking testimony of what God can do because despite the circumstances, their faith is placed on the one they have gotten to know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These are the believers that see sign of rain at a distance. And they are reminded of Isaiah 41:10, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand." These believers begin to see the skies darken and are immediately drawn to Psalm 23:4, which says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." They have not only built their house on the rock, but have placed God's word in their heart that when the storm begins to hit, they immediately know where to turn. And their faith is strong because when they know what God has done in the past, he can do again. Their faith is placed in Jesus. They can be in the middle of the storm, surrounded by darkness, but their faith does not waver because they know that even the winds and the seas obey him. When everyone seems to leave them or they feel alone, Hebrews reminds them that God will never leave them or forsake them. They can encounter sickness and turn to the one who still does miracles. And even if he doesn't, Revelation reminds them that one day there will be no more mourning or crying or pain. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I will end with this. So a couple of years ago, I adopted a prayer card method. Hope it's still here. Yeah. And this method has you write down your prayer request. And it can be for a specific person or a situation. So I have a card for my children, one for each child, one for my husband, one for my friends. And I have one for ministry. And what's really cool about this method is that you write your requests, and as God is answering them, you're crossing them out. So when you come across the card again, you're reminded of God's goodness. What you also do, what I was also taught, is that you write a verse on your card. And so what I did is I did a ministry. This card is 2 years old, okay? And this is, and it's, sorry, it's highlighted orange because this is all I had at the time. But this is what I wrote. I put, "He said to his disciples, 'The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields.'" This is my ministry card. And I intentionally put this verse here because, guys, ministry is hard. And in youth ministry, finding the right workers is hard. It's a blessing, okay? It's a reward to be in ministry. We love it. We're not going anywhere, Pastor. But it is hard. Now, my husband and I, we oversee both the youth and the young adults. They fall under our ministry. And this year was especially hard because we needed young adult leaders. And we have always desired for a ministry. I think this is our fifth year doing ministry. And young adult ministry has been the one where we have always fallen short. And what we have always desired was we wanted young adults that were on fire for God. And we wanted a community of young adults to help with their walk. Now, community was essential. I grew up in the church, and I could see how when young adults leave the church is because of a lack of community. And in January, we found ourselves in need of ideas and in need of leadership for our ministry. Now, looking back, in that moment, it was hard, but I can only thank God for putting us in a position where we saw no way out, right? We tried. We were literally tape and glue. We were doing this to the ministry. We didn't really have ideas. And there was a lot of people that stepped up and helped us, and they did an amazing job, and I thank God for them. But God needed us in a position where he could say it was me and no one else. And I told God, "You know what, God, I'm not going to ask anybody for help." We didn't see anybody that could really take on the young adults. And I said, "God, this is going to have to come from you. You're going to have to provide. And you're going to have people either come and approach us, or it's going to have to be evident that these people are going to be young adult leaders. And I held on to his promises that says, when the harvest is plentiful, ask him for help. Because our harvest was plentiful. We had 13 youth graduating to the young adult ministry, and the odds were against us. Because in church, 2/3 of youth leave the church when they turn into young adults. So we were desperate. We were in the middle of our storm. The wind was blowing. The rain was falling. The water was rising. And all I could do was pray for God's provision. And man, did God provide. 2 years of praying this. And a few months ago, they walked through those doors. And God brought the workers literally to our doorstep. And not only did he bring workers, he brought a group who is on fire for God and has a community. I asked him for these two things, but I held on to his word. I was like, God, it has to be you, because I can't do it. And now we have these amazing young adults who are a blessing to my life. Guys, we sit on Tuesday. Thank you. We go to Tuesdays and we're tired. For those of you that don't know, they have a ministry called Koinonia for young adults. Amazing ministry. About 80 young adults come to our fellowship hall. It's great. And my husband and I walk in there early to set up, help them. And to us, it's a blessing to serve. And we don't get home till like midnight. And my bedtime is like 8 p.m. They don't get started till 8 p.m. But we're sitting there this past Tuesday, and they're worshiping, and their hands are raised. And I'm like, God, I am so thankful because you gave us what we needed. And my spirit is young. My body is not, but my spirit is young again because of the young adults that God brought. And they have been a blessing. And they tell me, no, you're a blessing to us. I'm like, no, you're a blessing to me. Don't tell me God can't do it. Don't tell me God is not a God of his word. We appeal to God's character because we know and understand who he is. We hold on to his promises because we read about what he has done. Church, we dive into scripture. It is not only for us to have something to do. It is a tool to guide us, a meal to sustain us, a weapon to yield, and the strength to hold us upright. I'm going to ask you to stand. God is a God of promises, but have you read about his promises? God is a God of victory, but have you read about his victories? God is a God of mercy, grace, love, patience, but have you read about his character? Church, unless our foundation is built on God's word, the storm will overtake us. We are not in a time to be lukewarm Christians, but we are to be believers who stand on the truth of God's word. Revelation 19, as I was preparing, God put this verse in front of me, and it says, "And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him which no one knows exact except himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." If you want to get to know Jesus, get to know your word. If you want to know about the word of God, get to know the words from God. Unless you do that, church, your house will fall. And I want to ask you this morning, this afternoon, if any of this message has spoken to you, the altars are open. Come forward, pray to him, worship him. Amen.
Right there where you're at, you can just worship. If you need prayer this morning, we want to pray with you. We want to believe with you for whatever God has promised over your life. These altars are open as the worship team sings. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, my God, for reminding us, Lord, that your word is true.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at My Pneuma Church. Thanks again, and God bless.